The world has seen tremendous breakthroughs in medicine in the past several decades, and in some parts of the world, some diseases have been virtually eliminated. But there are always more threats to human health, both here in the U.S. and around the globe. And joining me this morning to tell us all about how a local center is fighting the good fight to bring these diseases under control is Dr. Mark Paul Hemus, Associate Professor of Medicine and the Director of the Center for Global Health and Translational Science at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Paul Hemus. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
So, to start, what is this Center for Global Health and Translational Research? What is it?
The Center for Global Health and Translational Research is a new center here at Upstate Medical University that combines the research efforts across a number of different departments and specialties to kind of pull all of that science, that research, that clinical expertise, pull it together so that we can really have a concerted effort at the mission of the center, which is to develop products for diseases of the developing world.
So it's very much targeted at, in a sense, on a global reach when you say the developing world. So give me an example of a product, for example, that the research might lead to.
So the focus is really on vaccines, drugs, and diagnostics for these diseases that you would find in sub-Saharan Africa, South America, places like Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam. An example of a product would be a diagnostic for a disease like dengue.
Dengue fever, or
a vaccine for dengue fever or malaria.
So. Both of which I know are mosquito-borne diseases, correct?
Yes, correct.
And so let's back up a minute. When you have in your title translational science, help us understand what that really means.
So the idea of translational science or translational research is it's focused on taking those products that have been developed on the bench, the basic science product, and getting it moved into the early testing phase so that it can be used in humans down the line. There's a big gap between what the bench can do and what the clinical researchers can do. It's oftentimes been called the valley of death for a product. But it's very hard to take something that is good enough on a bench project to show that there's activity against the disease. For instance, you find something that could be a good vaccine for malaria and it works great in a laboratory, but how do you make that a safe and effective product that you can put into humans? And that's translational research. Taking that bench product and moving it through models of the disease, animal models, other models of the disease, and then building a product that is safe enough to put into humans, and then doing the early testing in humans.
I've heard it called bench to bedside kind of thing, but you're basically talking about basic science research findings or evidence that then translates into clinical application.
Perfect.
So you really then can use it, I mean, basically. So are we here in Upstate doing that kind of basic science research in things like malaria, for example, and or dengue?
We are. We're doing in both of those. We have an effort through the microbiology and immunology group department here that's looking at malaria drugs in collaboration with the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research down in Washington, D.C. We have another group testing some antiviral drugs.
Here would be first in your center is to take the research that's already being done here in various places in the in university setting, excuse me, and help them get to the next phase so that it could then eventually become clinically applied.
So the center's kind of broken up into four parts. There's a basic science section where we continue to hopefully stimulate researchers into putting new developments into the pipeline. The second is translational piece, so a clinical researcher group that can help move those products off the bench into the clinic or to the bedside. The third group is the third arm of the center is an educational arm, where we're taking on the responsibility of educating clinicians and researchers both here in the United States and overseas in how to make this bench to bedside translation of products. And the fourth arm is our ability, our overseas labs, where we can actually make this happen.
So have you had any products that you've actually seen that transition from bench to bedside?
Well, that background, we actually pick up things in all four of those different areas. So we have some products right now that we've actually started all the way out in the field phase, out in our overseas labs. And there's a dengue evaluation going on in Thailand right now. We have some brand new at the other end of the spectrum. We have some that we've just started. For instance, just put in a proposal to a Department of Defense funding to look at a new platform for a malaria vaccine. So that would be the very, very early phase of right out of that transition, right off the bench into those early human phase testing. So we've got both ends of it now. We've also got some more developed products that have come in kind of in the clinical trial section, that arm where we're just, so we didn't, it wasn't our bench research that
found it.
You
didn't do the initial research, but you're taking it to that next clinical application stage.
Correct.
So tell us give me a range of the kinds of the kinds of diseases that you're attacking at this point.
So we have active programs in both dengue and malaria, and a great new program in looking at some of the cancers that are related to these tropical infectious diseases. The easiest one is it's called Burkitt's lymphoma. Folks that have Epstein-Barr virus and malaria co-infections, children that have Epstein-Barr virus and malaria co-infections, and some of these areas where they're both endemic, like sub-Saharan Africa, develop a tumor. It's called Burkitt's lymphoma. So we have ongoing projects in that as well.
In doing research in it or actually trying to develop products for it?
Well, it's both, right? Right now it's early in the research phase, and you have to kind of figure out the development process, what makes this link, how do malaria and Epstein-Barr virus turn into a tumor, what triggers the tumor, and then you have to go back and then figure out where you can make an intervention that could perhaps...
It's fascinating, and I don't think many people in the central New York area have any idea of the level of both basic science research that's being done here or the fact that you're making this translational research happen, which is phenomenal, really, that it exists here. I have a couple of questions about that. Do you find in doing this research in a global way or in doing getting this stuff happening, are there obstacles? Do you find, are there political obstacles in countries that around the world that you run into, for example?
So political obstacles, it's very funny. Kenya was, we have a site in Kenya. And as you know, just a few years back there was an enormous amount of unrest around the elections. We actually had some of the research interrupted during that time. Fortunately, a lot of that has stabilized, and our researchers have just been able to go back into that area. But I think the obstacles that we talk about really are the ability to get a long-standing presence there. You cannot do development in underserved areas in developing countries by just touching down for 1 week and then flying away. And so the folks that we have invested in Thailand and Kenya have been there a long, long time and put heart, soul, money, sweat, tears, all of it in those. And that's really the biggest obstacle, is to be able to get in there and establish long-term research projects where the country trusts you. You have a population of researchers that are willing to work with you. So,
are you also doing some training of the next crop of researchers here? I mean, we have a medical school. Are there students who have some interaction with what you do as well?
There are. So our faculty actually overlap with the MPH program.
Masters of Public Health.
The Masters in Public Health program, thank you. We have pediatricians involved in the Center for Global Health. We have PhDs. We have PhDs in training. We have postdoctoral candidates. So we run the whole spectrum. That's here in the U.S. We actually have a very similar program overseas. So we have PhDs from Kenya that have have obtained their PhD through one of the research projects with our researcher. And one of the arms of our Center for Global Health, one of the arms is this education piece. And we actually have developed a certificate course so that we can have a young PhDs actually understand how to do this translational research. And we have a program that's, that is designed to take PhD researchers, clinician researchers from overseas, bring them back and let them understand the full breadth of research, right? We're not trying to breed somebody who can just do bench research. We want somebody who can lead a research program that can go over back to their home country, Thailand, Kenya, Ecuador, and be able to compete for NIH grants or Gates grants or any of those, just like they would if they were here, you know, trained here in the United States.
You mentioned Gates grants, and I don't want to run out of time, but it seems to me that one big concern would be the money. Where do you get the money for this? And I know that the Gates Foundation has been very active in malaria. I also wanted to make a quick comment. I understand from an earlier interview I did that dengue has actually shown up in on the continental United States in recent years. So it's not just in developing countries that we have these threats.
No, it is. It's right here in these United States.
Carolinas or in Florida?
Florida's.
Yeah.
But the global health is not only for the developing world. There is no doubt that, that diseases travel.
And we have on airplanes these days.
On airplanes, on birds,
on
in their migratory patterns.
Right.
And emerging infections are still coming up all the time. And that's really what this is directed at. But this also impacts our travelers. It also impacts our veterans and our active duty service members. So just about anybody that's involved in leaving these United States benefits from this same kind of development.
So effort. Does the Gates Foundation help you out?
The Gates Foundation is probably the best thing that's happened to global medicine, global research in maybe ever. So enormous amounts of funding go towards malaria, towards tuberculosis, towards HIV. All efforts that we have here in the Center for Global Health and Translational Science.
It's wonderful. Do you think that, do you see that there will be a malaria vaccine? Is that your hope? In the next, 5 years?
Well, the first malaria vaccine to be effective is in phase 3 testing, and it's shown to be about 50% effective in sub-Saharan Africa populations, and that will be part of the grand program for eliminating malaria. But there is already efforts for the next generation vaccine. The one that's going to be the first one out there is probably not going to be effective enough, and there's going to be a next generation, and that's what we're all involved
that's
in already,
really
the
exciting.
Next generation.
That's exciting. How about dengue? Any hope for that? Quickly, because we only have a little
there
time.
There is. There's a vaccine out, and there's improvements coming. So,
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming in. This is very exciting. As I said, I don't think most people in Central New York understand the quality of research that's being done right here at Upstate Medical University. So thank you for coming, Dr. Mark Polhamis, Associate Professor of Medicine and Director of the Center for Global Health and Translational Research at Upstate Medical University. We'll be right back right after this short break, so please stay with us.